This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand.
The winner to organize the 2022 FIFA World Cup is Qatar.
The 2022 FIFA World Cup kicks off in Qatar on Sunday. More than 1 million fans are expected to travel to the capital city of Doha for the tournament, and billions more are expected to watch on TV. But despite the tournament's epic global popularity, this year's World Cup is plagued with scandal and allegations of human rights abuses. Last year, The Guardian reported that more than 6,000 migrants from South Asia had died in Qatar since it was awarded the World Cup, though the government strongly disputes those figures. And the Department of Justice here in the United States accused Qatar of bribing FIFA officials to win the hosting spot. Qatar also has strict social laws that have the potential to land fans in jail. Same-sex relationships are illegal. Women need permission to travel and work. And being drunk in public is a crime. Roger Bennett is the founder of the Men in Blazers Media Network, which covers global soccer. And he co-hosted the podcast World Corrupt, about all the controversies surrounding this year's tournament. Hi, Roger.
Madeline, it's good to be with you.
Good to have you. So I'm gathering from the title of your podcast that you think this was a dodgy decision to host the World Cup in Qatar.
Are you talking about a country that's smaller than the state of Connecticut with no prior footballing tradition, red flags all over their beard in terms of the heat in the summer months, stadia that didn't exist? And we interviewed on our podcast a DOJ spokesperson, Matthew Miller, who was over for the bid back in the day. And he called the process, which he witnessed firsthand, the most corrupt thing he'd ever seen. And then he stopped for a minute and said, and I broke through in New Jersey politics. So while Tony Soprano is no doubt spinning in his grave, we're left with a World Cup, which we have to watch in split screen on the field, the football, Lionel Messi and Neymar performing transcendent wonders, and just the human darkness and the geopolitical strands that we as fans now have to contemplate.
How exactly is it allegedly corrupt, the awarding process?
Allegedly, in the way that Sepp Blatter, who just sounds like a septic infection of
your FIFA president. Yeah.
Thank you, Madeline. Bringing in the football knowledge. He came out last week and said perhaps 12 years too late of the vote, which he oversaw, that the award of the 2022 World Cup to Qatar was a mistake. And he revealed that the French votes, the swing votes, took place after a meeting at the presidential palace in Paris, where the Qatari crown prince, now the emir, met with then French President Sarkozy and the head of the football federation, a gent called Michel Platini, in which Qatar worked out how to take the French vote and then buy fighter jets from the French worth $14.6 billion as a result. That's how these deals were done, at just a football trading off occurring at a giant geopolitical scale.
Okay, so they get the World Cup for various reasons and spend more than $200 billion to, as you say, build all these new stadiums, build an airport and all these hotels. And the people building all this are migrants from South Asia mainly, and many of them were forced to work in the summertime. Tell us about some of the allegations about their treatment.
Thousands and thousands of immigrant workers were brought in under conditions known as the kafala system, which is essentially akin to a sponsorship system, modern slavery, where their passports are confiscated. They work in insane conditions, 120 degrees, and they just buckled through so many health predicaments. And The Guardian, working with Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, put the report together last year that over 6,500 have died to build all the infrastructure, the hotels, the roads, the light rail, as well as the stadia. But this, Madeline, is truly a World Cup that's soaked in blood.
Oh my gosh. So aside from that, they also have some very draconian laws when it comes to LGBTQ people, and that has drawn a lot of attention. I just want to play a clip of video from the Australian men's team. They made this video criticizing the country's treatment of, well, both migrant workers and LGBTQ people.
We have learned the decision to host the World Cup in Qatar has resulted in the suffering and in the harm of countless of our fellow workers.
These migrant workers who have suffered are not just numbers. Like the migrants that have shaped our country and our football, they possess the same courage and determination to build a better life.
As players, we fully support the rights of the LGBTI plus people.
Okay, so what are the teams doing to protest? And are they doing anything significant?
Footballers have social platforms like NBA stars and NFL stars, and they are savvier and savvier. And so the head of FIFA has last week demanded that they stick to football and stay out of geopolitics, essentially shut up and dribble, which only inflames their agony in this moment. And the big question hanging over this World Cup is, what will the players do to make a statement? The Danish team are going to wear black shirts when they play as a symbol of mourning. On our show, we asked Megan Rapinoe, you know, what would she say to the players as they are in their hotel rooms the night before a game, agonizing about what they will say in that moment. And she said, you need to speak up. You need to create a symbol of change, or else you will live your entire life with regret. But I do believe with Saudi Arabia flexing to try and win the 2030 World Cup, that this could be a moment in which a player or a team step up and deliver a message to make sure that this will never occur again.
Well, I guess I'm wondering what our responsibilities are as fans, and yours in particular, because as you say, this is your spine. You're obviously planning to watch, but doesn't that then, you know, tacitly endorse Qatar and give them what they want, which is eyeballs on the spectacle in their country?
You both marvel at the great things and you fight for the change that you want to have. But there is a great movement, and a number of the teams have signed on, that the prize money, $440 million FIFA prize money for the World Cup, there is a push that's been led by Amnesty International to force FIFA to match that fund with their profits and give it to the families of the 6,500 foreign workers who've lost their lives. But to walk away, to ignore it, for me, is not possible. I love football. It is a human joy. And all I can try and do is marvel at the good things and fight for the change we want, but not walk away.
Yeah. And so, and pushing for some of the prize money to go to the families of the workers who died.
That is, and a number of the teams, including England, including the United States, who have signed on to that demand. They signed on quite quietly, but there's 9 teams that have currently signed on. And I do believe that ultimately, over the next 30 days of the footballers, we see Brazil take the field in their Technicolor golden jerseys, Argentina, Lionel Messi in his 5th and final World Cup in a light blue and white, even England, who will take the field full of hope and doomed self-sabotage. Ultimately, we'll be watching with a split screen. Please God, we'll keep our eye on all of that football, but also the tectonic plates of geopolitics, which will be grinding just underneath.
Roger Bennett, founder of the Men in Blazers Media Network and co-host of the podcast World Corrupt. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, Godspeed, Madeline, and courage to everyone in LA.
Coming up, we'll have your weekend film reviews.
Where this film, I think, excels is it kind of tiptoes along that idea of having crushes that you don't know if it's safe to express. Like, what do you do when you're sort of simmering on the inside?
Ooh, that's next on Press Play.